It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Dr. Musa, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us. Dr. Mutsi, can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
No, I can't hear you well, Dr. Mutsi. I don't know what's happening. I can hear you talking, but I'm struggling to make out what you're saying.
I'm hearing you.
Okay. All right. Let's try and make it work, Dr. Mutsi. This is our last installment of our conversation today. We're talking about staying true to your faith in a secular environment. And so while not everyone actually is faith friendly, and it can be challenging to maintain your Christian values in a secular environment, we need to understand what exactly is it that we're trying to do here. How do you stand firm in your beliefs while working alongside colleagues who may not share your faith or your beliefs? So come on, let's discuss strategies for staying spiritually vibrant in settings that may not align with your values. We do have Dr. Mutsi on the line. So let's just jump in, Dr. Mutsi. How can you stay true to your Christian values in a secular workplace, for example?
Thank you. Thank you very much. We proceed from the discussions we have been doing previously. The key issue, or the foundation of everything, is one's relationship with God, which actually is founded on one's scriptural studies, reading the spirit of prophecy, practicing what the biblical principles, and living a spirit-guided life. So when we are in a situation where we are meeting with the people who are not the same as us in our faith, there are two different reasons for that. Number one, I could have just looked for, maybe three, I've looked for a job, and the job in itself is nothing that is generally disturbing my faith, but it is a job that everyone else can join, and so I'm working with such people. And number two, I may be someone who gets converted while I'm already working in a situation. For example, someone is working for a brewery or selling tobacco or such things. I'm working and then I get converted while I'm already there. And so when it is such a situation, or even the first situation I have talked about, it is something that I have to struggle with more. Then the third situation is like one has been given an opportunity to choose a job which they can choose, they are going to a career and a job which they have done carefully, and they are in a situation which maybe more of the people have shared the same faith. But still, when you share the same faith with some people, there are some people who may not be, well, you share the same faith, but you may not have the same understanding in everything. So the major issue, like you are in a situation where you have been with people who are completely diverse and who might actually be forcing you to change your way of faith and practicing the wrong thing. It is a major thing to be so convinced that you can decide actually even to quit when it becomes difficult. But if it is not pushing you to quit, it's actually another situation where one has an opportunity to live according to the correct principles and be influential to those people, and you start witnessing actually to them because it's another opportunity for one to actually influence other people and educate them according to what you have studied in the Bible.
Right, right, right. Dr. Motsi, I see that we're going to run out of time. We have a lot to cover, so I'm going to try and rush you a bit. I want us to just talk about now the ways, respectful ways of navigating conversations about faith at work. What would you suggest?
Please repeat the question.
How do you respectfully navigate conversations about faith at work?
Or faith at work.
Right.
Like I've said, if you have convictions yourself, the first thing is you living out your faith. One major thing that I've realized with many people is that they have a head knowledge about their faith, but they don't practice it. So if one is practicing it, sometimes people may even say, you are doing this, why you are doing that, and then you start explaining. Another way is actually being intentional, observing what people are doing. You start from what they know, and you build on that. Having good relationships is another aspect. Relate with people well, so that even when you talk, they will be prepared to listen to you. It is very difficult for anyone to introduce their faith to a person whom they are not relating well with. So it is important to relate well with people, to be faithful at work, and also praying, reading the Bible, praying, and living out one's faith. And people will start asking, but they've already seen the example that what you are talking about is actually practicable, because they see you practicing it.
Indeed. So how can you handle situations where your faith conflicts with workplace norms or policies, Dr. Moose?
The first one that is very key that I've seen with many people is, for example, you may start working at a certain place and you are saying, I want to observe the Sabbath. Initially, they say yes. As time goes on, they might end up saying, work is too much. Can you come and relieve like this, like that, like that? So one must have a conviction that there are certain issues that are non-negotiable, which you don't have to negotiate. It's a no, it's a no, it's a yes, it's a yes. That being principled, but it all begins with one's conviction. So that is a situation which may be very difficult. Or you may be asked, say, like to get involved in certain like parties and so forth. You are in a situation where people are a mixed group and they want to have a party. Maybe they want to see some beer in the situation, and they ask you to make contributions, and you are saying, I cannot contribute because what in the end is going to be bought and so forth is contrary to what I believe, so I cannot support it. So people may not understand you very seriously. They say you don't want to cooperate because they don't understand what you understand.
So how do you handle that situation where you are now shunned, Dr. Mutsu, because what ends up happening is that you end up becoming a pariah in the workplace. You end up becoming that one who thinks he is better than everybody. How do you address those kinds of comments?
That's a challenging situation, but we still refer back to our situation. You are reading the Bible, you are practicing what God wants you to do, and if the Holy Spirit is living with you, he gives you the wisdom. But the major aspect is be firm with your position. And when it becomes very difficult, you have used all the tact you can, you have tried to explain, you have prayed about it, and people still resist. There are situations when they become very serious where one may have to decide to quit such a place and apply for another job somewhere else. And usually God will lead out. But if he so decides not to, then you still have to be like a Daniel, like a Shadrach, like an Abednego, like a Joseph, and you stand your ground.
Talk to us about those characters. Perhaps that could be a brilliant example of peeling this onion so that we can understand, how did Daniel do it? Because he was working as one of the governors in a land that is not a Jewish land, not a Hebraic land. It was not a Yahwist faith that was at play in that land. Could you just explain how Daniel managed it?
Daniel managed by trusting God, by prayer. I suppose I'm not sure about whether he had the scriptures or he just had to use what he had learnt before he left Babylon. And so he practiced what he knew and he lived it. And this is why those other prime ministers were jealous of him. And in the end, as we see the book of Daniel, it means God was with him and he ended up even inspiring him to write. And so Daniel navigated and he started writing the scriptures, and we can still even refer to what he was doing. But Daniel stood his ground even when he had to be thrown into the den of lions. It is the principle that ruled in his heart, and he decided. And even in this beginning, when we first meet with Daniel, our first encounter with Daniel is when he has resolved in his heart. So the major aspect is a resolution that comes because of what information you have, the basis of your one faith. And so you resolve, you make it a resolution, and you can stand, and God will prove it by standing by your side.
Here's my final question, Dr. Motsi. How then can you suggest, what would you suggest we do in order to support or to find support and to support one another and encourage one another, at least from those who are fellow believers in a secular job setting?
Yes, as I repeatedly said, it's important to practice what one's faith is based on, but especially one should continue to study the Bible, read the spiritual prophecy, listen to correct songs, associate with good people who can support you, and also just defend. There are certain issues that are non-negotiable. Because once you start one day, you give in, another day you say, I don't want it. Because the other challenge in workplaces is, maybe you are an Adventist or you are saying I'm a Christian. There are other Christians or other Adventists who will be bowing to certain demands, and they will start comparing you to say, but this one is bowing, and why you? Are you too special? One has to be brave enough by God's help, brave enough, firm enough, and to stand and just stand after making the correct resolution.
So I think maybe I should rephrase my question, Dr. Motsi. How do I support my fellow believers if I'm a believer in a workplace, a secular workplace? What can I do to support my fellow believers who are also in secular workplaces in order for them to not feel under pressure? And I'm saying this because if I can know what I should do to help the other, perhaps this would help somebody else as well to know what they can do to help me when I need that help. I'm looking at ways now we can support one another in a secular environment.
Depending on your relationship also with the person, you can give them biblical examples and the other examples of people who may not really be the Daniels and the Josephs, but the contemporary people who have stood their ground and God has led them, and you have tangible examples. And also, sometimes you can act the intervention approach where, if possible, you can go and assist with the negotiating for some permission of some sort. For example, someone is being forced to do this and that. If possible, you can go and do some intercession or some assistance in trying to explain and to be of a support to someone else who is meeting with difficulties. Maybe you are talking to the authorities as the open as they may allow you to come in and explain. But if we have said your example may be a support for someone who can see that this has worked and it might work for me,
yeah.
teaching them to love God and see that if things become difficult and you are on God's side, God will always work things out
indeed.
For you.
Indeed. All right. We can conclude with a word of prayer. Thank you very much, Dr. Motz.
Thank you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are very thankful that you have given us this opportunity. These situations that we are discussing in this program are very realistic and sometimes very challenging and very difficult to map a way forward. So we want to pray, God, that you assist us with the correct understandings and to assist your people who might be in difficult places. But we want to pray that they may be strengthened in being firm. We pray that you stand with your people and demonstrate that you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Dr. Motsi. Have a wonderful Sabbath tomorrow and happy preparation day today.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Dr. Motsi.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.